tackle the challenges I have encountered. And I probably know more than I ever wanted to know about grease traps, French drains, and walk-in freezers. But thankfully, I had a lot of help along the way. I would like to take this opportunity to thank some of those people who have made this program possible and this building a reality. Thank you to the joint venture partners, Jefferson Area Board of Aging, JABA, and especially Gordon Walker, for your vision and for your community support. University of Virginia. University of Virginia Medical Center, for providing the medical expertise and guidance that will be so critical for the success of the PACE program. And Riverside Health System, who's orchestrated this entire process, providing operational support and guidance as we grew from a dream to where we stand today. I want to extend a special thank you to Craig Connors, the father of PACE in Virginia and my mentor. Please recognize the architect, Katie Harrigan from Water Parks. Developer Tom Papa from Fountainhead. And Michael Lynch and his team from KBS, who built this beautiful building. Thank you to Debbie Baster, the interior decorator, for bringing this building alive. And to Bob and Jan from Mountain Glory Creations, whose artwork has brought the stunning scenery of our community right inside this building. You will get the opportunity to meet the Blue Ridge PACE team today later this morning, and I want you to know that I have never worked with such an incredible group of professionals. Their passion and their belief in the PACE model of care shines through every moment of every day. Their willingness to work together and to go above and beyond, whether it's cleaning bathrooms or writing policies and procedures, gives me the utmost confidence that they will provide excellent care to our participants and their families. Today, we are opening a building. However, as you explore the facility, I want you to imagine the center filled with participants and celebrate with us the community that we intend to become. On behalf of Blue Ridge PACE, welcome. To begin our program this morning, we are fortunate to have Miss Cynthia Jones. Miss Jones has more than 20 years of public service experience with the Commonwealth of Virginia in various healthcare positions. She currently holds two positions. She is the director of the Virginia Health Reform Initiative in the Office of the Secretary of Health and Human Resources, where she is the policy lead for the healthcare reform efforts. In September 2011, she became the director of the Virginia Department of Medical Assistance Services, which provides oversight for PACE in Virginia. Please welcome Ms. Cynthia Jones.
Good morning. Since I'm among friends, I can be more honest and say I've actually been in public service 35 years. And I, you know, and this is all all my years of 35 years has been on developing long-term care policy, except for when I worked for Senator Warner and I was trying to make sure children got enrolled in health care, and that was a success. And so now we're moving to make sure that long-term care is the best it can be in the Commonwealth. And it was about 20 years ago we went down to South Carolina to look at this model called PACE. And we really wanted it, and we didn't get it until about 2000. Well, we had the first one in 1996, but we didn't really start going to 2006. And I'm just really proud and happy that we're in Charlottesville, because Charlottesville was also one of the places we always wanted to go. And it's 2013, and we're ready to go now. And every PACE site is just as beautiful as this. I can't imagine a better place to go because of it's sunny. And it's beautiful, and you have everything you need under one umbrella. And I didn't even realize how important that was until I had to deal with it personally. You know, the idea that people can come to this PACE site, talk to the doctor, talk to a care manager, talk to them about anything related to transportation at home and what happens here. It's going to be such a peace of mind for the people who come here and the people, the family that surrounds them. So I'm happy. Today's the 14th PACE site, and we're serving over 1,000 people. And I do want to, you know, recognize the Department of Medical Assistance staff. They devote most of their time just making sure that PACE works. We try to make it as easy as possible from the state to implement a PACE site. And so, Terry and your staff, will you please stand up and recognize the Medicaid staff? So there's a lot more speakers behind me, but I'm glad for Gordon that we have your PACE site opening up. It's great to see Dr. Lindsay. Those two have worked on this idea for a long time. It just proves you got to get the right people in the room. So it's great that UVA, as well as PACE, Riverside PACE, and JABA joined hands to make this good for the people of Charlottesville. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Jones. Also making the drive from Richmond to join us today is the Deputy Secretary of Health and Human Resources at the Office of the Governor, the Honorable Matthew Cobb. Mr. Cobb has a long history of service to the Commonwealth of Virginia. He has been the Assistant Attorney General and the Associate Solicitor General at the Office of the Attorney General of Virginia. Health and Human Resources oversees 12 state agencies, including the Department of Medical Assistance Services. So we are honored to have Health and Human Resources represented here today. Please welcome the Honorable Matthew Cobb.
Good morning. On behalf of Governor McDonnell and Secretary Hazel, I just want to congratulate Blue Ridge PACE on its opening. As Cindy Jones, Director Jones, as we refer to her, alluded, this is the 14th PACE site in Virginia. And most notably, it's the first PACE site that's a collaborative PACE site here in Virginia. It's a great day for the Commonwealth. We talk a lot, and you've heard a lot over the past several years, about health reform. And we've all seen kind of, as the federal health reform has been implemented, and we've done a lot here in the state with Medicaid reform as well. But when we think about PACE, PACE is an example of true health reform that has worked. It gives us the opportunity to take individuals who would end up in a nursing home setting and let them live in the community, let them live in their home. And it allows us to wrap the services and coordinate the services around them here at the PACE site. Medicare, Medicaid services, anything they're eligible for, we can provide here. Blue Ridge PACE can provide. And that's a true success story. And it's something that Cindy and I were discussing in the car ride up here. As we have worked through the various reforms for Medicaid that we needed to do as a Commonwealth, and the General Assembly has directed us to do as well, the PACE model of coordinating care for individuals, of wrapping the services around them in one setting, is what we're all striving to achieve. And so to me, coming here today has just been a great experience. Every PACE site I've been to, is something that we just, it's an amazing experience. Because the pay sites make true difference in people's lives. We end up seeing better results, better care, and better service. And for that, I'm very grateful to be here today. I just want to thank you again, congratulate Blue Ridge Pace on its opening, and I'm sure that the keynote speaker will follow shortly and speak much longer than Cindy or I did, but this is a great day, and thank you for letting me be part of it.
Thank you, Mr. Cobb. Blue Ridge Pace is a partnership of three entities, UVA Health System, Riverside Health System, and JABA. Each brings distinct and valuable expertise to the center. Here to tell us about what their combined efforts will mean for Charlottesville and the surrounding counties is the Dean of UVA School of Nursing and Sadie Heath Cabinet Professor of Nursing, Dean Dory Fontaine. Dory is also, and most importantly of all, chair of our wonderful board. Before Dory steps up, would all board members please stand up and be acknowledged? Please welcome Dean Fontaine.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you. And I am a nurse, and the first thing I want to do is we have at least 10 seats up here. And I will be compassionate and say, please, you know, it's not church. It's not church. If you'd like to kind of sit down. We have no idea how long our senator might speak. I'll be short. I'm just kidding. I'll be short, I promise. So, as you heard, I'm the chair of the Blue Ridge Pace Board. Nobody's taken me up on that. That's okay. But please feel free. First of all, I would like to thank Mr. Ed Howell for inviting me to be one of the UVA representatives on the board, along with Dr. Marcus Martin, a dear friend, and Larry Fitzgerald. And little did I know that I would join the board and then be voted to be the chair, like, pretty immediately. And the funny part of it was people like, okay, this was a year and a half, 2 years ago. Well, we don't really need to meet. You know, things are good right now. We're partners. We don't really. And I said, oh, no. We need to meet every month because that way we'll get to know each other and build up the trust and respect that I think we truly have. So a few years ago, as Joe said, this was a dusty, vacant lot. And just an idea that became a reality because of the power of partnerships. PACE, as you'll hear, it's coordinated, holistic, compassionate care in just the right dose that's needed. It's a way to allow our seniors in the community to live at home. We hope this place will become the fabric of our community. How we care for our seniors is truly a window to our American soul, and PACE offers us this better way. From the outset of the planning process, it was felt that Charlottesville, as we heard from Cindy and the surrounding counties, deserved a team of partners that represented the best practices for all aspects of this wonderful new program. So this PACE is the fusion of these great ideas from some of the best-known partners in the Commonwealth. Jefferson Area Board of Aging, there's three of us. I'm putting Jefferson Area Board of Aging first in honor of their four decades. Thank you, Gordon. Gordon is now retired, but that's why he looks so cool and calm. Right, Gordon? But for four decades, they literally wrote the book on how to age in place. So having that expertise has truly been phenomenal. Their staff have worked tirelessly to steer this project to its completion and will be integral as we go forward in the operational success. Secondly is Riverside Health Systems. I have learned so much from my many colleagues at the Riverside Health System. They know the rules, all the regulations that will help guide the physicians, nurses, and all of us here for this PACE facility as we bring it to life. We could not have done it without them, and we're going to hear more from Bill Downey, their CEO, in a minute. And I also thank Craig Connors, who we've already mentioned. He's been just so instrumental. And then third partner is my very own UVA Health System, the School of Medicine, the School of Nursing. and everyone in the medical center. We have been collaborators for years. We train young physicians and nurses about the special kind of care older adults need, the care we would want for ourselves, our grandparents, people that we love. Under the guidance of Dr. Richard Lindsay, who's a member of our board, doctors and nurses-to-be have practiced at the Mountainside Senior Living Community out in Crozet for many years, and this facility we're celebrating today will offer our wonderful students another place to learn and understand geriatric elderly care with a lot of love. So ours is something of a dream partnership for this new venture. We will be bringing compassionate, safe, coordinated care to a single spot where it's desperately needed. Ours is a partnership that truly makes sense for our entire community. So to my colleagues at JABA, Riverside Health, and all my friends and expert clinicians who love the elderly, in fact, this is why we hired Joe. You just need to know, a lot of people wanted Joe Reeder's job. She walked into the interview and said, I have a passion for the elderly. I love the elderly. I was like, we're hiring her immediately. And we were right. The three of us partners will promise to take great care of the elderly in our community, and here's to the many years of collaboration ahead. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, Dean Fontaine. While the PACE model has gained a reputation for effectiveness in many parts of the country, it's still relatively new to Central Virginia. Our prognosis is excellent, though, thanks to the expertise of Riverside Health System, which already operates 5 successful PACE centers in Virginia. For the reasons behind the growing PACE movement, we are fortunate to have the President and Chief Executive Officer of Riverside, Mr. William Downey. Please welcome Mr. Downey.
Good morning. You better participation. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. One of the things that you find as you're farther and farther down the list of speakers is more of your comments have already been taken. So I will be very brief. But Riverside Health System has a long history of being a part of older adults. And actually, the health system was formed when Riverside Hospital came together with Patrick Henry Hospital, which was a long-term care facility in Newport News, to form the health system. So we're a little unique in that we have a very large, what we call lifelong health operation, and we now are excited to be bringing that to the Charlottesville region. As a personal point of privilege, one person who hasn't been mentioned, and he's, as usual, standing in the back, is Mike Martin. Mike, give us a wave. Mike has a 40-year career working to improve the care for older adults, and almost a 30-year career with Riverside. And Mike, even though he looks like he's about 50, is not, and has decided to... I'm giving away your secret. Sorry, Mike. But Mike is retiring at the end of this year, and there is not one person, I don't think, in the Commonwealth of Virginia that has done more to not only improve the care for older adults, but to change the way that we think about that care for older adults and how we approach dealing with older adults. And Mike, you've been a leader in the Commonwealth. You've been a leader in this nation. So thank you for all that you've done. As you've heard, this is a partnership. This is a true partnership bringing together the University of Virginia, the Jefferson Area Board on Aging, and we are very, very excited because when you think about the talent that those two organizations bring and the history that Riverside brings in serving older adults, as you've heard, that the prognosis is very, very good for Blue Ridge PACE. We're also fortunate in Virginia in that Virginia has not always been the most progressive in some areas, but in this area, in dealing with older adults, and we were talking about this beforehand. I had a professor at MCV who used to say, as go the 49, so goes Virginia. So if that gives you any history. But in dealing with older adults and in looking at being creative, Virginia has been a leader. And as you heard, the number of PACE sites around the Commonwealth now is 14. Riverside, this will be the sixth PACE operation for us, and we're very, very excited. And by the end of next year, we expect there will be 700 participants that are being cared for in Riverside PACE locations. And when you think about that, the average size of a nursing home in Virginia is about 100 beds. That's seven nursing homes worth of people that are being cared for in their home. They don't have to go into a nursing home. They're going into a facility that cares for them during the day but allows them to stay at home. So it's a win for all of the partners. It's clearly a win for the state, but it is a great win for the participants and their families, and we're very excited to be a part of it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Downey. The third Blue Ridge PACE partner, JABA, has served the needs of the aging community in the Thomas Jefferson Planning District since 1975. Over the years, JABA has connected thousands of local seniors, their families and caregivers with the support they need to successfully age in place. Now Blue Ridge PACE Partnership promises to take this level of support to a new level of effectiveness. To tell us how, we have the chair of JABA's Board of Directors, Mr. Dick Gibson.
Many of you may wonder, with all that JABA's done in the community for the 40 years, why do we need partners? Well, I'm going to tell you why we need partners. Most of you probably don't know that many years ago, JABA attempted to start, I guess it would have been the first PACE in Virginia, Gordon? Yeah. But that was, you know, primarily through Gordon's vision, and we worked hard to make it happen. We were just ahead of our time. But before I get into that, I just want to recognize Joe and her staff. Without Joe and her staff, we wouldn't be sitting in this lovely facility today. They have done a super job helping us to realize the dream that will become the Blue Ridge PACE. So let's give Joe and her staff a big hand. So we've been in the business of providing for the age population for about 40 years, and there's always been a missing link. And the PACE Center will provide that missing link for us. One of the primary goals that we have at JABA is to help people age in place. And aging in place versus being in a nursing home. So what the PACE Center will enable us to do is to add a medical component to the array of services that we already provide, so that when JABA reaches the point that we can't do any more for that person, rather than saying, goodbye, you have to go to a nursing home now, and you have to be separated from your family, and you have to leave your home, now we can say, hello, all you have to do is go right down the street to PACE, and your medical needs will be taken care of, so you won't have to be separated from your family, you won't have to be moved out of your home, and you can age in place for as long as you're able to, and PACE will take care of you for the rest of your life. I mean, that's a pretty good deal. So it will complement the services that we provide. In fact, we do a lot of housing for seniors, and we have a brand new housing project that is just across the tracks here called Timberlake, for which we had a ribbon cutting a few months ago, and that within a couple of months filled to capacity. So we can't have people coming across the railroad track, but we can certainly bring them around the corner and have them here to be served by PACE. So we're very excited about PACE. We are big on the continuum of life at JABA, and this is the missing link that we've not had to date, so now we have the missing link. And with that, I will yield the rest of my time to the Senator from Virginia.
Thank you, Mr. Gibson. And now, it is my great pleasure to introduce you all today, our most distinguished guest and final speaker. From introducing the Senior Navigation and Planning Act early in his Senate career, through to his consistent and continuing support for Social Security and Medicare, and efforts to advance hospice and palliative care, United States Senator Mark Warner has been a true advocate for seniors, their families, and caregivers. We are indeed honored to have with us today Senator Mark Warner. Welcome, Senator.
Well, thank you, Joe. Thank you very much. I have these comments, of course, with everybody giving me deferring back time. Maybe I'll give you the whole budget spiel this morning. It is great to be back in Charlottesville. Of course, considering my day job, it's great to be anywhere but Washington. And to see so many partners and friends, to see this great collaboration, I want to also give a special shout-out for the person who asked me here, who's on your board, my dear friend Bruce Murray. Bruce, give a wave. Thank you for hosting me last night. And you know, to folks like Dick and Gordon, who I've known for years working on a series of these issues, the kind of collaboration that's taking place here. Collaboration, what a unique idea. Maybe I could take some of those thoughts back again to my day job place. And I think what you've talked about here today in terms of pace and filling in that missing link is so critically important. Because it is all about a continuum of care. And getting it right. I mean, Lindsay and I first started talking about a lot of these senior issues. I was the original founder of the Virginia Healthcare Foundation back close to 22, 23 years ago. And then about 15 years ago, 18 years ago, I get my numbers a little wrong, we started something in Virginia called Senior Navigator. Senior Navigator is a web-based system. Adrian, raise your hand from Senior Navigator. Something that is a great initiative. I think everybody has got their own personal family issue of how you kind of got involved in senior issues. I did through my family. My mom had Alzheimer's for the last 11 years of her life. The last 9 of those years, she didn't speak. And, you know, the bravest thing I ever saw was my now 88-year-old World War II Marine tough dad and my sister take care of my mom 24/7 full time for those last 11 years. And I thought, you know, as a relatively informed person, you know, where do you go to get the information? Where do you go to find that help? And there was no single spot. So with advice of people like Dick and Gordon, we created this tool, Senior Navigator, that has tried to help seniors or their caregivers find that piece of information. And the big piece that has been missing so long in our healthcare system is exactly the role that PACE fills. How do we give seniors more choices in terms of the continuum of their life? And so many, you know, families didn't have the kind of blessings, perhaps financial support that I was able to provide for my family to allow my mom to kind of live in place. So we've had families, you know, and nursing home care provides great care for many, many folks, but there is also a lot of folks that would much prefer to be able to stay home or go through this continuum. And PACE provides that critical component that is so, so necessary. This is not only the morally right thing to do, but it is also the financially right thing to do. And Cindy and I worked together when I was governor. She's done a great job at DMASA. She also did a great job when I had the opportunity to be governor. Virginia went from kind of bottom of the pack to number one in the nation in terms of signing up kids for our children's health insurance program. And a lot of that was due to Cindy's efforts. But one of the reasons why we have to get this right, and as we kind of fumble around with health care reform in Washington, the need gets ever greater. The fastest growing demographic in America are folks over 85. And if you want to get stunned, again, I promise I won't give you the whole budget spiel, but think about the fact right now what our federal government does. Right now in the United States of America, the federal government of the United States spends on average about $7 per person
for every person over 65. They spend about 80 cents per person for everybody under 30. Now, long term, that's not a formula that's going to allow America to continue to compete, stay competitive, have the best educated, well-educated workforce. Now, that doesn't mean we have to retrench on choices or options for our parents and grandparents through their later stages of life. But it does mean we need to recognize that our kind of siloed healthcare system that says you go here for healthcare and you go here for social services and you go here for nutrition cannot function anymore. We've got to find this ability to collaborate. And I want to add my voice to the recognition to Riverside and UVA and JABA for the kind of willingness to say, okay, none of us have all the answers, and we all have to be willing to learn from each other. Again, a lesson that could be used a lot more in my day job than is needed. So I want to commend this 14th, I believe it's a 14th PACE site here in Virginia. I think it is a model. I think it is going to provide a wonderful quality of care for a whole lot of folks in the greater Charlottesville area to continue to live their lives with dignity. I want to take a moment as well, though, and talk about kind of the next step. If I was a really good politician, I'd say, you know, thank you very much and sit down. But just as we think about the question of choices as seniors get to the stage of living at home and aging at home or aging in a nursing home, I believe we also, and we're the only industrial country in the world that hasn't had this kind of conversation, we have to have a conversation about the next stage of life, about advanced illnesses, about later stages of life. You know, it is stunning to me that we live in the greatest country in the world, the richest country in the world, the country with, in many ways, the most successful healthcare system in the world, yet we are a nation that is totally uncomfortable from a policy standpoint or personal standpoint, talking about how we honor our parents and grandparents in their later stages of life. As a matter of fact, we saw, you know, lots of things wrong with the debate around health care reform. But the single, in my mind, the single most insulting point of the health care debate was when people were legitimately talking about how we ought to allow families to have the kind of counseling that they should all go through as an option, not forced upon anybody, as an option. And even the notion of those kind of conversations were labeled by some as death panels, which was outrageous beyond the pale. I tell you, 4 or 5 years later, there are a number, and this is an issue, let me acknowledge again at the front end, that is more than a policy issue. It is a personal issue. It is an issue of faith. But it is time, again, I believe, to try to start this conversation. So and I say that because, you know, going back to my own family, I'm a pretty well-informed person. I have blessed with incredible resources. We didn't have the conversation with my mom before she got too sick to be able to help be involved in her own care choices. So everything I've tried to work on in Washington in a major way, I've tried to make sure I have a Republican partner, because there's nothing per se better about bipartisanship other than the fact that I quite honestly think that most Americans don't trust either political parties enough to give them the keys. And for many Americans, most Americans, if it's bipartisan, it may mean, gosh, maybe that's code that it's actually in the country's best interest. So with a dear friend of mine, Johnny Isaacson from Georgia, he's been a long-time senator, somebody active in senior issues for a long time, we're actually going into dangerous territory again. We've put together something called the Care Planning Act, which says, advanced illnesses and later stages of life is a part of all of our lives. And what this bill tries to do is to align the care people receive with the care they want. No more, no less. It's not about limiting or taking away any options. It's actually about expanding options. And I want to, again, not take a long time, but I want to share with you, as people who are intimately involved in issues around aging, to get your advice and counsel on how this bill, if you think it makes sense, and how it might be improved. What do we do in this bill? We basically do three things. First, we say every family, with their religious figure if they choose, priest, minister, rabbi, imam, ought to be able to have a conversation with a medical professional and necessary a social worker, and have that kind of conversation about advanced directives and about advanced illnesses, and have that conversation, have the medical professional actually get compensated under Medicare for that kind of conversation. Right now we have the craziness of a system that will allow the hospital or the doc to order 15 or 20 additional tests that may or may not be needed, the patient may or may not want to have, but we don't allow the doc to sit down and spend 30 minutes and talk with the family and the minister about, all right, if mom gets to this stage, does she want to pass at home? Does she want to pass in a hospital? You know, do not resuscitate, do resuscitate. I mean, these are hard issues. But my goodness gracious, in the greatest country in the world, shouldn't you be able to have a medical professional have that kind of conversation with you in a way that reflects every family's choices and every family's beliefs? And again, we found a way not to expand and create some new program, but to actually do this under Medicare Part B. And because what all the data has shown is, if a loved one is facing an advanced illness, the better informed the loved one is and the family is about their choices along that path, then the better path is going to be both for the patient and the family. So it seems like it should be a no-brainer with that point, number one. Second, we try to shore up the system. We talked briefly, somebody mentioned in the earlier conversation here, about advanced directives. You know, whether it's advanced directive, living wills, I mean, these tools that people have are called 14 different things depending upon the state you live in. And all we're trying to do in this legislation is say that if your family and your loved one has chosen to have an advanced directive or whatever they call it in Pennsylvania or California or Illinois, that you ought to have that advanced directive honored. If you happen to write it in Virginia, but mom ends up being in Oregon when she's at that stage of her life. Not trying to interfere, but saying again, we ought to respect people and respect their wishes. And if they've had this kind of informed conversation, they ought to have it honored everywhere. And third is, you know, we really need to be willing to start having these conversations. And in a small way, this legislation says, you know, the whole question of palliative care, of hospice care, of, you know, the whole question of when you get access to hospice versus, you know, when you're still at a curative stage, or whether you have to be at that point where you're saying, we're going to give up all curative. There may be ideas around a kind of a hospice light service that you have while you're still in curative, to make sure that every hospital system has some expertise in palliative care, to recognize that, you know, we ought to be able to talk about this in a civilized way without being kind of afraid, particularly folks in politics calling these conversations something they're not. So our hope is that this, you know, small step of legislation and this information being included in the Medicare and You handbook would be a small step that we could take along with the activities of PACE, along with the great work that you do here in the Jefferson Area on Aging, so that we make sure that every one of our Virginians, every American, can live their life with the kind of dignity and respect that we all deserve. In an America that is blessed with as many resources as we have, one of the things that we owe our seniors, one of the things we owe our parents and grandparents, is that kind of respect, that kind of quality of care. And what you've done here with PACE is really in so many ways a perfect example of it. You are about providing choice. You're about providing options. You're about providing a recognition that we're all going to have this stage of life we're all going to live through. And, you know, at the end of the day, I think the society is judged most not by what they say, but how they treat their youngest and they treat their oldest. And it's my hope that PACE will be one of the examples of not just Virginia, but America moving forward in reflecting those right kind of choices. So to the collaboration of the partners who are making this possible, to Joe for the great job you're going to do, and I'm going to also take the senator's prerogative and call out, where's Joe's son who is getting a day off from school today? Bring out her son right here. We will get... Nick, hey Nick, if you need a signed pass from a U.S. senator to say that you got an excused absence, I'm not sure whether that helps or hurts, but I'll be happy to sign an excused pass. For all of you who have made this day possible, thank you. For all of the seniors who are going to be able to have a chance to take advantage of this wonderful facility, you've got a great opportunity in front of you. Thank you all very much.
Thank you, Senator. Your words are music to our ears. Now, the time has come for us to cut the ribbon. From a logistical standpoint, we all need to troop outside if you want to witness the ribbon cutting. We will then have our ribbon cutters come up to the front door. The ribbon will be cut, and we'll be able to officially welcome everybody back into the building, back into Blue Ridge PACE. After the ribbon cutting, we'd very much like you to join us in the Dogwood Day Room and throughout the building. There are refreshments to be served. The Blue Ridge PACE team is available for guided tours, but you are more than welcome to explore our facility on your own. Once again, welcome to Blue Ridge PACE.